ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 16 ದೈವಾಸುರ ಸಂಪತ್ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗ. ಸೊ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಗೋ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್, ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಬ್ರೀಫ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಆಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಅರ್ಲಿಯರ್, ನೌ ಆನ್ ವೈ ದ ವೆಬ್ ಕ್ಯಾಮ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್. As was said earlier, the teaching part of the Vedanta will not be much. That is the philosophical portion. Even though brief reference will be made here and there, then the topics are going to be, they are essentially the preparation or the conditions necessary for this jnanam to work. And this is very important because without this preparation, the teaching will be ineffective. Will be only an intellectual exercise, an academic exercise only. I will become another scholar and continue to be as terrible as before, as Swamiji says. So only difference is, I am a scholar also. So this scholarship remains in one portion of my intellect, and my connection, my character continues to be maybe as it was before. Like oil and water, my knowledge and my life will have no connection whatsoever. So I will be a mere Shrotriya, but not a Brahmanishtaha. So this has happened only because of the lack of preparation. To put in Tattvabodha language, we have to become Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. And that is why the first teaching of Tattvabodha is Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannam Adhikarinam. For those people, it was taught. Now, in any knowledge, three factors are involved. One is called the pramatha, pramanam, and prameyam, three of them. And in this Vedantic teaching, who is the pramatha? Every student who is listening is the pramatha, the knower. And what is the pramanam? The very Vedantic teaching coming from the mouth of the teacher, which is essentially shastras, and that is the pramanam. And the prameyam is the object of knowledge, happens to be the very nature of the pramatha, the subject. So the pramatha himself happens to be the prameyam also in Vedanta. And so the very teaching must give the knowledge there itself. So you don't have to look for a knowledge later. It should give right there. There is no gap between the teaching and the knowing, unlike the teaching of all other subjects. For example, I talk about a particular animal, some subject, whatever it is. Here, pramata is there, and pramanam is taking there also. Talking is there. That's also happening. But still, our knowledge is incomplete because the prameyam is far away. The animal is not here. It is far away from us. So you have to learn, and you have to go to that place, and you have to go and see the animal to know the animal. There is a gap between your knowledge and the animal, which is the object, and experiencing the animal, all those things, they all take place later. So it is a two-step process in all other knowledge. If I talk about, for example, a dish, and I say it is very tasty, you understand the taste, but you have not experienced the taste. Later, you have to go and you have to experience the taste also. So thus, in objective knowledge, learning and experiencing are two separate steps. Whereas here, learning and experiencing are not two separate steps because the objective knowledge, the prameyam, is not far away from me, the pramatha. It is all the time available intimately as what? As the chaitanyam. Because the atma is not to be experienced later. Atma is the only one which is all the time experienced as what? As aham, I. And so learning and experiencing are not two separate steps at all. Learning itself completes the knowledge. Shravanam itself completes the knowledge. Then people might ask, why mananam and nididhyasanam at all? And they are not for experiencing the atma, but are only to remove doubts and old habits. That's all. So knowledge is to be complete in Shravanam itself, just by mere listening. But in some cases, we see some people who listen to the teaching very well. Still, they feel they have not gained the knowledge. Either they say, I don't know well, or they say, I know, but have not experienced. They make statements of that kind. So whenever one feels we have got the knowledge, then that is the problem. The problem should be traced in one of the three factors. And what are those? Pramata, Pramanam, Prameyam. The understanding will not be there if the Prameyam is away. We cannot say the Prameyam is away like the animal, because Prameyam is not elsewhere. It happens to be I, myself, which is all the time here. Atma is ever shining. In all the avasthas, in all the stages, it is available. So there is no defect in Prameyam. And we cannot say that this Prameyam is covered also, because Atma can never be covered. And even to say that Atma is covered, it has to be illumined by what? Again, the Atma only, Chaitanyam only. So Atma is never covered. It is ever evident. So no problem with the Prameyam. Then what is the next possibility? Pramanam. And what is Pramanam? The teacher. Sometimes the teacher is confusing also. Many times he is confusing, because the teacher was not a student before. Then only he will be confusing. If the teacher also happens to be a student, then because he has learned it from a teacher, he won't be confusing. So without being a student, when a person takes up to teach, that is a problem. And only when the teacher is not all right, then he will tell that I am giving you the knowledge, and later you will experience the Atman. That is what that teacher will say. So do meditation, do this, do that. Then you will gain knowledge, and you will come to realize what is Chaitanyam. Once this kind of teaching is given, the student is in eternal trip, that he will go and try forever looking for that Atman to come, which will never happen. Because whatever comes will be Anatma only, because nothing is there to come. So the teacher must consistently hammer, don't look for a distant experience at all. Don't look for any other experiences. I am always talking about you, the experiencer, who is ever free. I am not saying your body is free. It has got its own problems. I never say your responsibilities will be over. As long as life is there, there will be responsibilities will be there also. I don't say family will be free from problems. Family will have problems. The teaching is that you, the experiencer, are ever free from all of them. When? Not after meditation or anything exercise. Even right at this very moment, you are free. That is the teaching. Tat tvam asi. If the teaching is not in this manner, the mistake is on the part of whom? On the part of the teacher. So now let us assume that the teacher is teaching properly also. And in spite of proper teaching, if the student still continues to play the same music, then the defect has to be with the pramatha, the student. And the defect is sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. Sampatti is not there for the student. He is not an adhikari yet. He is not an eligible person yet. So he does not listen consistently. He listens for maybe for 5 minutes, and the next 5 minutes mind goes elsewhere, here, there, and all that. Partial listening or incomplete listening. This is one of the defects. And deha abhimana. So many other problems are also possible. So shravanam can give immediate knowledge and complete knowledge if the student is prepared. And so preparation becomes very, very important in Vedanta. In fact, it is more strenuous than the Shravanam itself. Preparation is more strenuous than Shravanam itself. We have told earlier, if a wedding has to take place, the actual ceremony will be over within maybe half a day or so. These days, maybe 10 minutes and 15 minutes. Or in some communities, just changing the ring, then it's over. But remember, for this function, for the half a day function or half 1 hour function, whatever it is, the preparation started years and years ago. So many boys came and all the various eatables, this, that, and all those practices are over there. So it takes a lot of time for preparation. So you go through all the three types, namely Shravanam, and then Mananam, and then Nididhyasanam. All have to be gone through. So similarly, if Mahavakya Upadesha and gathering the knowledge, it does not take time. To teach Tattvamasi for the Upadesha doesn't take time. Preparation takes years and even janmas. That is why Aneka Janma Samsiddha. Krishna said earlier, we saw that. And so Krishna is going separately, he is going to separately deal with this preparation in two full chapters. In the 16th chapter and in the 17th chapter. And the 18th chapter is a mixture of all of them. So in the 18th chapter, he sums up all the 17 chapters and it is separated as the Upasamhara Adhyaya, the chapter of conclusion, giving the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. And in the 16th chapter and 17 chapters, he concentrates on the preparation, as we said. And in the 16th chapter, he will talk in a particular language. And in the 17th chapter, the approach will be different. But in the 16th chapter, he talks about the preparation in the form of Daivi Sampath. Daivi Sampath means divine virtues. And the opposite of this is what? The negative thinking, which is to be avoided by everyone. And he calls it as Asuri Sampath, the demonic character, whatever. So the thoughts to be the entertained, what are the thoughts that we need to entertain and what are the thoughts to be removed. So the whole discipline is at the level of thoughts. The teaching is at the level of thoughts. And so speech and action, what are the do's and what are the don'ts, all those things are emphasized. And they are not to be followed at a particular time or anything, but to be observed even during the most provoking situations. Most important. Everybody is noble in unprovoked situations. When there is a provocation, if I keep, my restraint, in fact, that alone is the teaching of Mahabharata, where Dharmaputra shows extreme restraint in spite of severe provocation. Therefore, this chapter is called Daivasura Sampat Vibhaga Yogaha, the topic in which the virtues and vices are discriminated, they are distinguished and learned. Whereas in the 17th chapter, Krishna will teach the same thing in the form of sattvic character, rajasic character and tamasic character. Sattvic character has to be taken and the other should be avoided as much as possible. So only the names are different. All of them mean ultimately only one thing. And what is that? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. By now we should be familiar with this term. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti means Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi Shatka Sampatti and Mumukshutvam. So we can say that 16th and 17th chapters, they talk about this preparation, namely Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. With this introduction, let us go to Shloka 1. Ata Shodashodhyayaha Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Abhayam Sattvasam Shuddhihi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi Danam Dhamascha Yajnascha Swadhyaya Istapa Arjavam. So Krishna, he gives a list of virtues to be followed by every seeker. What are the things to be followed by every seeker? And many of the virtues mentioned here have been already said previously in various occasions. Some of them are new also. For example, Abhayam. So Abhayam means fearlessness, which is an extremely difficult virtue to follow because every human being has got a constant fear, which we call it as insecurity, anxiety, all by bhayam only, fear only. Bhayam of old age, bhayam of diseases, bhayam of family members. Will they treat my daughter properly in their in-laws house or granddaughter properly? All these kinds of fear. So abhayam means not being anxious, does not mean carelessness. We should differentiate care from fear also. A parent should care for the children. Otherwise, it will be irresponsibility. This is possible by learning to accept the future, have faith in God, and seek strength to go through any situation. All those one has to practice. If prarabdha is so strong that my purushartha fails, I have to forcibly go through that situation. I cannot avoid it. God, give me the strength to go through this. Give me the strength to handle the situation. Actually, we are talking about God and not Vedanta, because remember, we are talking about an Ajnani yet. We are not talking about a Jnani at all. As far as Jnani is concerned, he will say, I have no Prarabdha at all. Because Prarabdham belongs to whom? Prarabdham belongs to the body. So even anxiety regarding moksha is not good for a seeker. He cannot. Desire for moksha is perfectly okay, because it is mumukshutvam, it is necessary. But a person worries and is afraid whether I will progress in spirituality, whether I possess all the qualifications and all. This fear is counterproductive obstacles. I try my best to follow the spiritual path, but I am not afraid of any obstacle at all. Whatever may come, I just proceed. And the source of strength is faith in God alone. Mayicha ananya yogena bhakti ravyabhicharini, Krishna said. Actually, in the Visishtadvaita Sampradaya, when they talk about Sharanagati, they talk about the various factors necessary for Sharanagati. So they say, anukulyasya sankalpaha pratikulasya varjanam and rakshasiti iti vishwasaha, all the things. So whatever is anukulam for spirituality, I take. Whatever pratikulam, whatever is not conducive, I avoid. And the Lord will protect me. Rakshati, the Lord will rakshati. He will protect me. He will give me knowledge. So this sarvadharman parityajyam, mam ekam sharanam rajayam. And in the 18th chapter, the Lord says, machittaham sarvadurgani mad prasada tarishyati. All the dukkhas will go away. Durgani means, durga means obstacles. O Arjuna, you will cross over all the obstacles. Do not be afraid by prasada, by my grace. So, nahi kalyanakrit kaschitim durgatim tata kachati. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, that the Lord promises his full support, unconditional support to the devotee. For ruling the moksha samrajya, Lord gives the unconditional support. Therefore, abhayam, fearlessness. And that is called Abhaya Mudra, the sign of protection. The Lord has Abhaya Mudra and Varamudra, all that thing, you know. So Varada Mudra is, whatever you seek, I will give you. Abhaya Mudra is protection. So you want to seek moksha, Lord God will enable you to get it. But you do your job. So all gods have these mudras. Never fear, Abhayam. That is the first virtue here in this chapter. Then the second virtue is Sattva Samshuddhihi. Sattvam refers to antakkaranam. Antakkaranam, the mind. And why is mind called sattvam here? Because it is made up of the sattva guna of the five elements. If all those who attended the Tattva Bodha lectures, there we talked about yetesham panchatattvanam samashti sattvikamshat antakkaranam sambhutam. Antakkaranam means mind. So samashti sattvikamshat, by the sattvic qualities of all the five elements together, this sattvic quality was born. So sattva samshuddhihi, it means mental purity. So this virtue has been already talked about in the 13th chapter itself with another name. And what was that? Saucham. If you remember that, Acharyopasanam Saucham, same as Sattva Samshuddhihi. The only difference is that Saucham means the purity of the external and internal. Here, Sattva Samshuddhihi means specifically the inner purity. And what is the purity of mind? Nothing but freedom from negative thoughts. The purity of the mind is nothing but freedom from negative thoughts. Whatever is an obstacle to spirituality, that should be avoided, whatever thought. So the problem is, negative thinking in the mind is not expensive. So one can freely entertain negative thoughts. Secondly, any physical activity causes tiredness and fatigue. So one can withdraw. But in case of mind, one can go on and go on forever. And above all, others will not know it also. Whatever negative thought one has in the mind, others will not know also. And so we are extremely careless with respect to our thoughts. And so Krishna says, you should be extremely careful and cautious. Even the slightest anger, anxiety, depression that comes, if it comes, get rid of it immediately. Nipping it in the bud. That we have to do. So sattva samshuddhihi is possible only by alertness. And two methods we talked about in Saucham earlier in the 13th chapter. One is called Bhakti and the other one is Pratipaksha Bhavana. Will help in the inner purity. The number two, Pratipaksha Bhavana means what? Entertaining the opposite good thoughts. Whenever a negative thought comes, entertain the opposite good thoughts. When anger comes, entertain Kshama. When hatred comes, entertain love. When possessiveness comes, entertain Dhanam. So, and then the third one is Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. Vyavasthitihi means steadfastness, commitment. To what? Jnanam. Jnanam and Yoga. Jnana Yoga. So, Shankaracharya does not take Jnana Yoga as one word. By Jnanam, we take Shravanam and Mananam here. And by Yoga, we mean Nididhyasanam. So, being committed to Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, that's what is meant by Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. So, this also has been mentioned in the 13th chapter in it as a different word. And what was that? Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam, same as Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. Remember, this is the main sadhana because all other virtues are only preparatory steps only. If the Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, if it is not there, all the virtues will make him at best a virtuous person only, but not a jnani or a wise person. So mere pursuit of virtues is not enough. Along with the Vedantic study is a must. One has to follow virtues along with Vedantic study to gain moksha. Because virtue will not remove ignorance, self-ignorance. And that is why Krishna includes Vedanta Vichara as one of the virtues necessary. Then Dhanam. Dhanam is charity, giving. It has not been mentioned in the 13th chapter actually. Krishna will talk about the importance of Dhanam more in the 17th chapter. And he will even divide Dhanam into three types, Sattvic Dhanam, Rajasic Dhanam and Tamasic Dhanam. And even in Taittiriya Upanishad, Shraddhaya Dheyam, Ashraddhaya Dheyam, Shriya Dheyam, Kriya Dheyam, Bhiya Dheyam, Samvida Dheyam. Dhanam is very important in many ways actually. Number one, it will help to expand our mind, Dhanam. You cannot give to others unless you have loving identification or oneness with others. Because Dhanam, if you want to share your hard-earned earnings with other person, you should love to do that. So Dhanam removes the dividing attitude, Lobaha. To get rid of Lobaha, I alone should possess. That is an obstacle. If somebody thinks for Dhanam, one should not think like that. And Dhanam removes this Lobha obstacle and helps me in expanding my mind. And number two, Dhanam is a rehearsal for Sarvatyagaha, that is Sannyasaga, Sannyasaha, for Sannyasashrama or Sarvatyaga. This is a rehearsal. According to Vedanta, the ultimate goal is what? Na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyage naike, amrutattva manashiko. That's what Vedanta says. I must be ready to give up everything. We don't say that we should give up everything, but mentally I should ask, am I ready to give up everything? Not that you should immediately write off everything. Am I ready to give up everything? That mental question should be asked. Mind must be able to say yes. But mentally I should ask, I really to give up anything? And till then, sannyasa buddhi has not come yet. That's what it means. Whether extremely, externally we give up or not, that is a different thing. But whether the internal maturity and readiness is there, that is the question. And whoever is ready, he is called a tyagi, a sannyasi. Because only if I am to give up the anatma totally, then alone I can identify with atma. If I want both anatma and atma, it will not work. And that is why we show the Chinmudra. You know, Chinmudra, I explained Chinmudra in some other context in the Dakshinamurti Stotra. The three fingers are anatma, these three. Sthula Shariram, Sushma Shariram, Karana Shariram. Or Sattva Rajastamo Gunas. Or Jagrat Sopra Sushupti Avasthas. All these three. I can either join these three groups. This is the Jiva, Tarjani. It can join either these three or it can join the Chaitanyam, the Paramatma. I cannot say I want both. Because this finger cannot have this and this both. So, anatma tyagam vina, atma praptihi naiva sambhavati. without giving up anatma, atma prapti, gaining atma, self knowledge will never happen. This anatma tyaga need not be a physical tyaga at all. But inwardly I should ask, am I ready to give up everything? Remember, if I am not ready, that is why Yamadharmaraja is giving us the training. Every time we die, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, we have to give up every blessed thing we held. We held on for the full life. So many things we held on very dearly. At the time of death, we have to give them up. So that's what Yamadharmaraja is, he is really training us. Money, house, position, possession, children, relatives, wife, spouses, everything one has to give up. All have to be left. Yamadharmaraja is giving really training in sannyasa ashrama to everyone. And once we get it naturally, Yamadharmaraja will not come thereafter. So, amritasya putraha. We'll never be afraid of Yamadharmaraja. Therefore, dhanam is a rehearsal for tyagaha. Then dhamaha, chakshuradi bahyendriya nigraha. That was what was talked about in dhamaha, in tattvabodha definition, sense control. All 10 sense organs, dasha indriya nigraha. So, but by control, what do we mean by control? We don't mean stopping their function. It cannot be stopped also. You cannot stop the eyes from seeing, ears from hearing, all that. If you have to see, it will see. Because life means operation of all these sense organs. That's what life is. By control means the sense organs function according to the decision of my buddhi. That is control. Buddhim tu sarathim vidhi. Manaha pragrahame vacha. Indriyani hayan yahuho. So buddhi must decide which is good to see, which is not good to see. And once buddhi has decided, I should not see what should not be seen. Tongue control for speech and taste. So control of all the 10 senses. Krishna will talk about this vaktapas. All those things he talked in the 17th chapter, which comes under dhamaha. Then yajnaha. Yajnaha means worship of the Lord. Ishvara puja. It is also considered a nitya karma of a seeker. A person should be worshipping the Lord. Devotee, you know, one has to learn to devote some time for prayers, ritualistic prayers or chanting some names or something or the other. Of course, in the third chapter, we talked about karma yoga, where we said every action, whatever we do, has to be converted into an yajna. Yajnartat karmano anyatram lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Yajnartat means what? Ishwarartat yajna vai vishnuhu. So yajna here means Ishwar. So Ishwarartat karma. So tadartam karma kavante yam mukta sangha samachara. So do your duty, free from any attachment, offer them to the Lord for the sake of an yajna, sacrifice to the Lord. And again in the 9th chapter, yad karoshim, yad ashnasim, yad juhodi tadasiyatim, yad tapasisakamteyam, tad kurushvam, madarpanam. That's what the Lord said. Converting this very life itself into an yajna. Here we are talking about a particular specific worship for which we spend separately some time. Like we have, for example, people have TV time, lunch time, newspaper time, all those time. So time for Lord also in a day sometime. Similarly, swadhyayaha, some time is to be allotted to the study of scriptures. Swadhyayaha, traditionally they take it as Veda adhyayanam actually. But even if it is not Veda adhyayanam, at least reading the scriptures. There are also two types of them are there. One is called parayana, where thinking and vichara are not involved in parayana. In fact, swadhyaya comes under regular parayanam part. The advantage is twofold for this. One is the text will become more familiar or even to can be got by heart. And second thing is when I read with meaning, that comes under jnana yoga. Jnana yoga vastitihi. So we should sometime at least read and our own notes in the class. You know, sometimes people when they take notes in the class, we should spend some time at least to read our own notes. Then tapaha. We talked about earlier tapaha also. Tapaha means austerity, discipline. So this also Krishna will talk about later in the 17th chapter. He will divide them again into three, sattvic and rajasic, tamasic tapas. And we have seen a definition of tapas earlier. willful self-denial is called tapas, to establish mastery over my organ. So, for example, upavasa, maunam, or on certain days, like for example, Shivaratri, keeping awake, and various disciplines, Ekadashi, you know, person observing, you know, upavasa. So various disciplines followed to go to, like people go to Sabarimala and all these various places. You know, Pandaripura, people walk to all these places. So, Ekadashi Vratam, these are all willful denial. So, this is also as a regular feature. That way, they will, and that's a, this is a regular feature, they have to do it. This also, that way they have certain festivals and functions where it is observed temporarily for the puja. But when one comes to spiritual, becomes a spiritual seeker, then it is not for 41 days, one day, he is, it's a very lifetime, the entire lifetime becomes disciplined. It is not that one day I can do, one week I will do, one day in a month I will do. No, none of those. It is for every mistake. It has to be done. It has to be done. In fact, the Nitya Puja, the prayers, they etc. are kept to maintain internal discipline only. I see one hand raised by Akka Raju. You have any question? Do you have any question, Akka Raju? Akka Raju, you have any question?
No.
Because your hand is raised. Okay, I'll unmute you. Okay. His very life becomes a disciplined life. He should become a tapasvi. In fact, the Nitya Puja, prayers, etc. are kept to maintain a discipline only. These are all not optional. A Vedantic student requires all these anushtanas. Then Arjavam. Arjavam, this also we have seen in the 13th chapter. Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shantihi, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Saucham, all those we saw that. Arjavam means straightforwardness, which means alignment of thought, word and deed. Perfect harmony in all of them. No split personality at all. Externally smiling and internally cursing, all those things don't happen. They are all not correct. So Arjavam is very, very important, truthful to oneself. If I cannot be truthful in the relative world, how can I will one can get absolute truth? Very difficult. So love all, hate none, be truthful to oneself as a general rule. So this is the toughest problem, but well worth it, because the gain is infinite. One has to practice. Ahimsa asatyam akrodaha tyaga shantira paishunam daya bhuteshvalo luptvam madhavam hrira chapalam. More virtues here are given here. Ahimsa. This also we have seen in the 13th chapter. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa. So there we have seen elaborately, but here we will see, simply say here, it is not injuring anyone's mind or body. This requires being sensitive to others' feelings. And ahimsa will require tremendous kshama, because we may be sensitive to others' feelings, but when that person hurts our feelings, then our immediate tendency is to react and hurt his feelings in return. And if I should not hurt others' feelings, even as a defense, it requires tremendous kshama to undergo difficulties, as Dharmaputra did, in spite of Duryodhana inflicting injuries on him again and again. This is because of the simple value that I won't hurt him in return. So ahimsa requires tremendous capacity to suffer. If not, I will jump. In the case of a kshatriya, certain amount of himsa is allowed, but that also not for, not in self-defense, but for defending dharma. But for a spiritual seeker, that question does not arise at all. Since he is not a ruler or king with the responsibility to defend dharma, that is why for a brahmana, they never allowed himsa at all. But for kshatriyas, it was allowed. That is why Krishna said, tasmat yudhyasva. You engage in the war. Not because Duryodhana is hurting you, but he is hurting dharma, and you are the protector of dharma. Then satyam, truthfulness, or avoiding telling lies. as was said earlier, you need not be vocal about truth. But if you are speaking, you speak truth. If truth is unspeakable, be silent. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, nabruyat, satyam apriyam. Never speak untruth. As was said earlier, truthfulness is nothing but harmony between thought and words, alignment between the thought and the words. So we can say satyam is a subdivision of arjavam only. Alignment of thought, word and deed there. So satyam is included in arjavam. If a person says that in Kali Yuga, satyam cannot be spoken, then we can say, for every untruth I am forced to speak, I should willingly take a punishment on myself. Instead of allowing the Lord to punish me later, I myself take a punishment, which is called prayaschitta. As Gandhiji used to say, for every mistake he used to fast, or keeping maunam, doing japa, gayatri, all that. If we speak asatyam and not doing prayaschittam, then we are doing committing a sin. Then akrodaha. Akrodaha means quietening of the mind. When anger comes, krodasya upashamaha. Pacifying the mind when anger surges forth. When anger comes in the antakarnam, in the mind, it will spread to bahyakaranas, the hand, leg, walk. When internally, when the anger comes, it will very soon spread to the external organs. So when it comes, retract or withdraw back. When it comes, how? By knowing that anger is utterly useless and is an obstacle for spirituality. Kamayeshaha, krodayeshaha, rajoguna samudbhavaha, mahashano, mahapapma, vidyanamika vairinda. We already saw that shloka. It is the first enemy. Not to others, but to yourself. So it hurts me really very much. It is like any addiction causing, any drug causing addiction. Initially, a small anger will be, you know, effective. But after some time, the same amount of anger will not be effective. So I have to increase the dose. Earlier they will do it if I scold. They get used to it after some time. Now they will obey only if I beat. So all these things. So better control in the beginning itself. Otherwise it becomes like a drug. It is not suppression because it is not forcibly done by others. But when your own buddhi is convinced of the uselessness of anger and gives command to mind and mind to the mouth to shut up, then it is not suppression, it is victory. When you stop, it is victory. When others stop, it becomes suppression. Then tyagaha. Earlier he said danam, which is like semi-final, and tyaga is the final step. Moksha is the cup, for example, for moksha, for people to win the moksha cup. So that is the one. And Shankaracharya, he interprets it as sannyasaha, primarily as an internal, and secondarily, as an external sannyasa also. Then shantihi. Shantihi means shama. Shama means earlier, dhamma was talked about, sense control. Now shama. Shama means mind control, thought control. That is monitoring my thoughts, avoiding what should not be thought of, and entertaining only proper thoughts. So mind control should not be taken as stopping the mind, but it is only directing the mind, regulating the mind. It is not thoughtlessness, but only thought control, monitoring, channeling the thoughts, directing the thoughts. So Krishna does not say how. The answer is, mind is always controlled by what? By buddhi, which is sarathi, and mind is the pragraha. So shamaha is vivekaha and abhyasaha, or to use. So shamaha, one has to do it by viveka shakti and by abhyasa, by practice. Or to use in Krishna's language, vairagyam and abhyasa. So abhyasena cha kaunteyam, vairagyena cha grihyate. Sixth chapter. When Arjuna said, chanchalam hi mana Krishna. My mind is always oscillating. For which Krishna said this. Then apaishunam. Apaishunam means not publicizing others' weaknesses. Shankaracharya, he says, so parasya pararandra prakati karana. That's what he said. Parasya means to someone. Pararandraha means one's weaknesses. So prakati karana means exposing them, publicizing them, talking about others' weakness. So talking about one's personal, one person's weakness to another person. If you want to talk, be bold enough to talk to him directly, which is paishanam. So apaishanam, not talking about others' weaknesses. Then daya. Daya is sympathy, compassion, mercy, pity to the other beings, which was mentioned in the 12th chapter itself. Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitra karuna evacha. So karuna. The only difference is, in the 12th chapter, we talked about a siddha purushaha, and here we are talking about a sadhakaha. Sadhakaha means a person who is still getting trained, who is still following it as a sadhana. There it is a siddha purushaha, who is already a jnani. So Shankaracharya writes, so dukkiteshu, when they are suffering, daya, and compassion towards the suffering beings. So that's atmopamyena sarvatra samam pasyati surjuna. Sukam va yadi va dukkam sayogi paramo mataha. In the 6th chapter, it was said, learning to look at others exactly as I look at myself. Even if the other person has harmed me, like Dharmaputra rescued Duryodhana when he was caught by the Gandharvas, when Bhima and Arjuna was not in favor at all, they wanted really to Duryodhana to be punished. This attitude is called daya. Actually, you should be read with bhuteshu daya, towards all beings, not only humans, but also animals and plants and all of them. Even the insects and everything. So rescue from water, you know, it's sometimes the insect, you know, it stings you each time, all those things, you know, they are, but each time follow this ahimsa. And to the Sishya who questioned the behavior of a sadhu, you know, sadhu said, stinging is the dharma. See, there was a sadhu and an insect, it stung him. So he was trying to rescue it from the water. And each time he was trying to rescue it, it was stinging him. Then to the Sishya who questioned the sadhu said, stinging is the dharma of the insect and rescuing is the dharma of the sadhu. So each time I try to rescue, it stings me, but still I have to rescue. That is my dharma. So sarvabhuta daya. And whoever has this attitude is a sadhu, is a saint. Then aloluptvam. So loluptvam means weakness of the sense organs. And aloluptvam means what? Indriya chapalyam and aloluptvam, it is the absence of fickleness of sense organs, weakness of sense organs. Shankaracharya says, indriyanam vishaya sannidau avikriya, when they are various attractive things around, the sense organs remaining calm and steady. When there is nothing there, I can be quiet, no problem. But when there are so many tempting, provocating things around, at that time to remain calm and steady. So it is almost the problem of dhamma only, but Krishna puts it differently here. Then mardavam, being soft in character, it is the opposite of being harsh, cruel. So softness in dealing with people, especially in language, tone, polite, gentle, soft tone compared to arrogant, harsh tone to all, including equals, including children or lower people. Even to lower people, many times people use such kind of harsh tones. No. So soft-naturedness is called mardava. And importance need not be highlighted by raising the voice. Normally people tend to think that by raising the voice only the importance or a point can be made. Even important things also can be said softly and politely. You can silence a person by raising the voice, but not convert that person. You have to make an impact on that person. One has to be soft and gentle. Mardavam is possible only when we have kshama. Kshama means patience. So it is closely connected to ahimsa, avoiding oral himsa. Then hri means modesty, humility, opposite of dambitvam, adambitvam, show off of glory. I have done this, I have done that, all that thing. That is called dambitvam. Whereas a humble person never declares his glory. He never says, I did that, I did this and all. He understands that it is the grace of the God, and that he is in a position to give or to do anything. Here alone, the Vibhuti Yoga becomes very useful. Whatever is in me is only the glory of the Lord expressed through me, that understanding. I cannot take the credit for anything. This is Kri. Kri means modesty. Then achapalyam, avoiding fruitless, useless activities. Shankaracharya says, prayojane asatim, vak, pani, padadinam, avyaparam, itritruvam. So that's what he says. If there is no use in the, you know, the mouth, hand and legs, that should not be made active at all. If there is no use, let them be all silent. Let them not be made any activity, any active at all, if there is no use. Before talking something, ask the question, what is the use of this talking? Should I have to talk at all? If there is no prayojanam, but only killing the time, soon the time will kill us. No question of, oh, I'm just doing it for the sake of it. Everything should have a purpose. Sometimes advising others without him asking, all such things, they are all useless only. Most children think that parents, they don't know anything. Especially teenagers and all, many times they think you don't know that. So trying to advise is also wasteful. Maximum, we may give a suggestion. Shloka 3. Teja hakshamadriti shaucham adroho nati manitam bhavanti sampadam daivim abhijatasya bharatam. So Krishna continues with the list in this shloka. Now tejaha. Tejaha means smartness. Smartness, vigor. Literally it means brilliance, tejaha means. But here we can take it as vigor. Some commentators, they say tejaha refers to not changing our decision, etc. So because some people try to change by varieties of methods, various methods, they want to somehow make change to my decision. By varieties of approaches, they will say, for example, using nice words like please, kindly, you know, by hook or by crook, they do all these things. So stri baladibihi, either children or a woman, when she tries to change a person by her peculiar trick, not being overpowered by those tantrums, you know, all those kinds of things, Acharya writes. So stri baladibihi anabhi bhavyartham. So not giving in, that strength is called tejaha. So that is that kind of a bhava. And then kshama means patience. Patience or forbearance. Shankaracharya, he says, antar vikriya anutpattihi, absence of mental disturbances. Antar vikriya anutpattihi, restlessness. And we don't have mental disturbances when we are comfortably somewhere. No problem at all. We are all peaceful. But the problem comes when there is a provocation around. That is, Shankaracharya says, akrishtasya thadidasyava. Even when someone is cruel or harmful to us, generally we can say, in spite of provocation, antarvikriya abhavaha, that is called kshama or patience, the absence of reaction. But one has to be very careful. We don't say nothing should be done in that situation. Whatever action is to be taken, the action can be taken, no harm done. But the action is taken not because I am hurt. It is taken because it is not good for the other person. Look at the mind. Therefore, a seeker will try to change the other person for his own good, not because he has hurt me. Many times children say things which may be hurting. We should not shout back at them with a hurt mind, but try to correct them with love. Today he spoke to you. Tomorrow he may speak the same way to someone else. So has to be corrected. You may take some time. You may postpone it and correct him. If reacting, you won't be postponing at all. So if you can postpone shouting, you are in control. If not, you are reacting, which is dangerous. So kshama. Kshama means patience. Now Shankaracharya asked the question. Earlier, the word akrodaha was used. It means what? Pacifying the anger when it comes. Here kshama is said, meaning not to be disturbed in spite of provocation. What is the difference between then akrodha and kshama? Shankaracharya, he makes a subtle difference. In krodaha, the disturbance comes first and then I notice it is not good for me, and then I quieten my mind. That is akrodaha. Whereas in kshama, the disturbance does not come at all. So kshama is certainly superior. That is why in Mahabharata, often Dharmaputra says, kshama eva satyam. Kshama alone is tapas. That's what he says all the time. So in fact, the greater the glory of Dharmaputra is, you know, is a mind which does not react for a person, that is the glory. So even forgiveness can be called also Kshama. Then Dhritihi. Generally, willpower is called Dhriti. And what is the function of willpower? Whenever we are undertaking something, after some time, the mind and sense organs, they get a little bit loose. The initial enthusiasm, it weakens for most people. And when there is lack of enthusiasm, the capacity to again boost it and moving it on or to reach the goal. So this is a person who will never feel fatigued till he reaches the goal. In English, we have a nice word, perseverance. Maintenance of the enthusiasm, always being lively all the time. That's all called Dhritihi. And about Dhriti, Krishna will again talk about in the 18th chapter, and he will divide it again into three types, Sattvic, Rajasic, and Tamasic. And there he says, Dhritya yaya dharayate mana pranendriya kriyaha yogena avyabicharinya dhritihi sa partha sattviki. He is going to say that in the 18th chapter. So the activities of the mind and sense organs are always held in the right path without getting tired. Because this problem is common in any field. For example, like a New Year resolution, a lot of people make New Year resolution. First week, everything is great. Then slowly it tapers away. So the word is derived from the root dhr. Dhr means to hold on. Dhritihi, holding on. So then saucha. We have seen in the 13th chapter itself what is saucham. So acharyopasanam saucham. Stairyam atmavirigraha. We saw that already. Here also saucham has been indicated earlier. Sattvam samshuddhihi. And since the inner purity has been already mentioned, we can take saucham here to indicate external purity. Because there, sattva samshuddhihi, we talked about internal purity. So here we can talk about external purity. Then adrohaha, not harming others literally. But this word seems to be a repetition again because already we have talked about ahimsa. So if you give the same meaning here also, then it will be called punarukti doshaha. It's a dosha. To repeat it. So Shankaracharya makes a subtle difference between these two words. So he says, now ahimsa is not harming others and adrohaha is not even desiring to harm others. Ahimsa is not harming. This is even not desiring to harm others. Icchapi nasti. So Shankaracharya says, para jigamsa abhavaha. So that's what he says. Therefore, one is not harming. Ahimsa and the other one is not harming is ahimsa and the other is not even thinking of harming. Remember, we have to remember that this subtle difference is made only in this context. This is not a regular meaning. In general context, we can take adroha as ahimsa itself. But when both come together, we make this subtle difference. Then na atimanita, same as amanitvam, atimanita. We have seen this also, not feeling superior. Not looking at oneself as a superior person, the superiority complex. There we discussed in detail, amanitvam, adambitvam, in that chapter, we discussed in detail because this will lead to superiority complex. When this comes, they cannot accept anyone else as superior. Then they get into jealousy and all those things. I may be superior to some people, that's fine, but it should not become a complex. Then I won't accept anyone else as superior to me at all. That complex is called Ati Manitvam. And the absence of that complex is called Nati Manita. With this, the list is complete. Krishna has listed all the various virtues here and he says, Bhavanti. All these virtues will be there. Daivim Sampadam Abhijatasya. All these virtues will be there in a person who has inherited Daivi Sampat. That is the literal meaning. And Abhijatasya, who has inherited, in the sense of who enjoys, who possesses Daivi Sampat. And Krishna uses the word inheritance because the word Sampat is used, which means wealth. Just as Daivi Sampat. Sampat means wealth. So just as people inherit the material wealth, land, bank balance, all those things they inherit. Whereas some people have inherited spiritual wealth. And those who have inherited spiritual wealth, they will all have these virtues. All these virtues will be there with them when they inherit spiritual wealth. If not inherited by birth, they are not there. We have to then earn them. If they are there by birth, if a person is born a noble person, no problem at all. Otherwise, one has to strive to earn them. So whoever enjoys this wealth will possess all these virtues. So Daivim Sampadam Abhijadasya Bhavanti. O Bharata, O Arjuna, with this, the list of Daivi Sampad is over. So Krishna is going to talk about elaborating all of them in the next slokas, rest of the chapter. So we will conclude it today for today and then take up the rest of the chapter from the next webinar onwards. We stop recording first.